We're unabashedly obsessed. We've got to get it off our chest. Please sit there and be quiet.
Night falls in the urban city where a couple of podcasters lash out against all that it... Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, everyone.
Hello.
Welcome to Unabashedly Obsessed. I'm James.
I'm Aaron.
On our show...
What even was that?
I don't know.
That's staying in, by the way.
Okay. On our show, we like to talk about things related to pop culture.
And not so pop culture.
Tonight, we're calling a bit of an audible due to scheduling changes, so we decided to watch a movie we've been meaning to watch.
Yeah.
It's called Dave Made a Maze. The super short Cliff Notes of the one sentence synopsis for me.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that movie we watched during Thanksgiving, Mazes and Monsters?
Uh-huh.
The exact opposite of that movie.
Yeah.
From like a plot standpoint.
Yeah. 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 Wow.
So.
Yeah.
Meet Dave. He's a ne'er-do-well who can't quite get things done. Meet
Annie.
Thank you. She's his girlfriend.
That's basically all we know about her.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like we got a lot about who she is. We just don't find out much about, like, what she is.
I mean,
that,
like,
makes sense.
Yeah. I think that, yeah.
Like, I really liked Annie.
I really liked Annie, too. I don't think, she didn't feel flat or like a sort of a prop girlfriend.
Yeah. But we don't know what she does for a living. We just know that she's employed.
Right.
We don't know really much about who she is, what she likes, all that stuff. But I feel like we got to see a little bit of who she is based on her interactions with the other characters and
right.
her reactions to what was happening to them. And I really liked the actress.
I really liked her too. I really also liked her. She reminded me so much of Nassim Pedrad.
I don't know who that is.
You watched New Girl, right? No?
Yeah.
Was she Cece? No.
No.
She is, are you semi-current, like last season or two?
The last thing I remember happening was Cece was about to get married to some guy that her parents had arranged for her to marry.
Was Winston a cop yet?
Yes. Or he maybe wasn't a full-fledged cop. He was in the...
The police academy. His partner?
I don't remember.
Okay. It's not important. She was on SNL. She's been, you might recognize her. She would remind you of Annie.
Okay.
And she had sort of the same kind of spunky, like, kind of like cool, but sort of also like put upon.
Okay.
I mean, like Nassim Pedrad could have played this had it been her friends.
Yeah, it did really feel like, hey guys, I wrote a movie, you want to be in it?
Right.
But like high budget?
Sure. Weirdly high budget?
Yeah. I mean, we're not talking like, you know, Marvel Universe high budget, but we are talking way more budget than I expected. I mean, it was like a safety not guaranteed level.
Or better.
I think there was more to this one.
But it felt like high production values, not
yes.
necessarily high production budget. It felt like they knew a guy that could make paper bags really well. They knew a guy that could
knew cardboard.
Animate stuff really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I think that it may be just that the cameras were really good.
Could be.
And that it's just like it looked really nice and whatever, but like it definitely gave me the vibe of friends playing. I mean, like
yeah.
it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
We should do real quick. I mean, like the plot synopsis is actually like there's no reason to go beat by beat because I don't know that I
yeah.
could. Dave makes a maze as the title implies.
Right.
And then he gets trapped in it.
Because he started building it from the center.
Like a seashell.
And then it's bigger on the inside.
Like the TARDIS.
And he couldn't find his way out. So Annie comes home from what I assume is a business trip.
Yes.
And there's like this maze of cardboard boxes. And it's like steaming?
Yeah. I thought he was like vaping or like smoking or whatever. But yeah. I think maybe at first we were supposed to think that he's smoking.
Yeah.
Like pot.
Like pot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, wow, we got our drug reference in real early.
Yeah. It's weird. It is weird that, like, at least in my mind, smoking a cigarette would be like, ugh, gross. But smoking pot, I'm like, yeah, all right. I mean, that's some people's culture and whatever, blah, blah, blah. I know they're different, but also they're almost exactly the same.
Right. Yeah. But it turns out Dave is not smoking pot in the maze. Dave is just lost in the maze because it's gotten so big on the inside.
And when we see this maze, it is the size of, say, like two children's, like two Power Wheels length, like end to end.
I mean, yeah, like it easily fits in a one-bedroom apartment's living room.
Yeah.
With a bunch of people also in there.
Right.
Because Annie calls their friend Gordon.
Who was my favorite character in the whole
same
thing.
And Gordon comes over, and then Gordon calls Leonard, and I guess just a whole bunch of other people.
Right.
A homeless guy, Jane, Gregory and Bryn, a Flemish couple that they found on the street. He just invites everybody in to see Dave's maze. And Dave won't let anybody in the maze because he says it's not finished and it's too dangerous.
Right.
And it sets you up to think that Dave is having some sort of breakdown.
Right. Yeah. And that he's...
Annie is obviously very concerned.
Right. She's like, can you please come out of the maze?
Right.
The tone of this movie was so interesting to me because it was both... Like, I took it completely seriously, but it was a comedy.
Uh-huh.
It was so silly, but it had very dramatic parts to it.
Right.
It was, it's one of, it might be the best movie I've seen this year.
Really?
I really, really, really
liked it. I really enjoyed it.
I mean, I haven't really seen a lot of movies yet.
It was, like at one point, we were maybe, 20 minutes in, and you looked over and you were like, this is fascinating.
Yeah.
Eventually, they all go into the maze.
Of course.
And they manage to find Dave, who I keep wanting to call Nick. Is that the actor's
name? That's the actor. He's played by Nick Thune, who people might know from comedy or car commercials.
Okay.
He's the handsome car commercial guy. He's, I want to say, one of those cars that looks like a big box with wheels.
Okay.
His commercials are delightful when I see them.
I'm sure they are. I don't know that I've ever seen any of them. I don't know that I've seen him ever before tonight.
He's a handsome man.
I would not mind seeing him more.
Yeah, he is.
Because he is a very nice-looking gentleman.
And I think he does... You know what? He's a musician also because he has a... There's this thing called Day Trotter, which is like a studio in Illinois. And they put out, like, you can do a Day Trotter session if you're, like, a musician, if you're in Illinois or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it, that's, like, a website that puts out these things. Sure. I have a Day Trotter session from him.
Oh, okay.
And I can't think of if it's music or comedy or both. It might be both. It's probably both.
Okay.
But, like, yeah, so he's a bit of a Renaissance man.
Yeah. He also builds really fucking cool mazes that will try to kill you. And in some cases succeed.
That was the coolest part. It was, it was directed, I think, and created by someone named Bill Watterson, which is the name of the guy who created Calvin and Hobbes.
Yes.
It's not the same man.
Yeah, his IMDb page indicates it is not the same man.
Yeah, but this had a very Calvin feel to it.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
I've made this imagination thing and now it's alive and I have no control over it. And it's still sort of silly and also killer.
Yeah.
And it delighted me in the exact same way.
Uh-huh.
It was, I mean, it's the kind of movie I would like to make. It's took itself 100% seriously, even when they entered the room where they all turned into paper bag puppets.
That was such a good scene.
It was that, yeah. That was so good.
It was so good.
When one of them like whipped around,
uh-huh,
was so funny.
And when they all dove into the pipe.
And they just threw the paper bags.
Yeah, you could tell there was just people throwing paper bags at this pipe. Oh, it was brilliant. I loved it. It was so good. It was so good.
So people start dying.
Yep. Kind of unceremoniously, too. Like, there's this annoying girl named Jane who follows them into the maze, and she's in there being all annoying, and then all of a sudden the maze cuts her head off.
And, like,
but it's not...
paper... It's like streamers?
Yeah, it's not bloody. It's like streamers and confetti and silly string.
Yeah, that is the gore in this movie.
Yeah.
The only gore in this movie... The only actual blood is Gordon gets a paper cut.
Yeah. That bled a lot more than any paper cut has a right to.
Well, it's one of those cardboard cuts.
I know, but still.
Actually, I got the impression that there was like a razor in the...
That would make more sense.
Because he was like running his hand along it, and then he kind of like pulled back. Yeah. I got the impression that there was like a sharp edge to it.
Yeah, well, and actually when that happened, I remembered Dave having said he hurt his hand.
Yeah.
And Gordon was like, oh, paper cut? And he's like, I mean, kind of.
Because, well, he stuck his hand into the...
Well, and so... When that happened to Gordon, I was like, oh, that must be what happened to Dave. And I think you're supposed to think that.
Yeah.
But it turns out that the maze made itself a vagina?
I think Dave made a vagina.
I guess Dave made a vagina for Gordon.
Right.
Because I guess Gordon doesn't get any vagina.
Right.
Gordon claims he does. But I guess Dave's impression is that he doesn't. But so it's like this giant pulsating orifice.
Stop. It's a trap.
I know. I watched the movie. Dave stuck his hand into it, and his hand turned to cardboard.
And it
stayed cardboard.
It stays hella cardboard.
Like, until...
Credits.
Yeah. Which bothers me a bit.
What happens in the maze
apparently happens in real life. Doesn't stay in the maze. Well, I thought that when they managed to finally get out of and destroy the maze...
I think Dave did too. When he like looked down at his hand and he was like, oh, I guess this is just my hand now.
What happens when he like takes a shower?
Yeah, I know.
It's going to get all mushy.
But on the other hand, there's no like pores or anything, so it won't get like gross. So you could just probably like it's a cast, put like a grocery bag around
it. That's true.
You wouldn't want to get it. He wore a glove
at
the end, so you'd want to do that because you wouldn't want to like get it dirty because like...
Well, and you also probably wouldn't want people to see your weird cardboard hand.
Also, would it generate new cardboard like layers of skin?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe it would have had the maze stayed alive.
Yeah, for real. God, thanks.
Dave.
Team of people.
Yeah.
This was very much like a silly Stephen King book.
The whole time we were watching it, I was like, you know, if Stephen King wrote like comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could see him having written this. Like, it had that level of, like, way more went into it than you would have expected based on the premise of Dave made a maze of boxes in his living room and it was bigger on the inside.
Yeah. Dave kept reminding me of, you haven't seen The Goonies, correct?
I have not.
Of the main guy from The Goonies who is... Barbara Streisand is married to James Brolin. James Brolin Jr.,
Josh Brolin.
Is the lead kid in The Goonies.
Oh, okay.
He's the hero of The Goonies. His shirt kept reminding me of, like, a costume from The Goonies.
Okay.
Which is weird, because that's definitely, like, a late 90s, early 2000s shirt that my friend Andy... Hi, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
I'm really, really positive that Andy had a couple of that kind of shirt.
Yeah, it's like a Henley shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what Don Henley would wear?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It was a weird movie.
It was a weird movie that was really, really good. There, I mean, the last bit of it was tough to bring to a conclusion, I think just because that's just how sometimes it goes.
Yeah.
But I think that I really, really enjoyed it. I was actively engaged for probably 90% of the whole movie.
Yeah.
I felt like everyone put in a great performance.
Yep.
That was that. So that was Leonard, the director guy?
Harry was the director guy.
Okay. Leonard was the guy who kept running and saying he thought of what to say.
Right. He was one of the, what were they called? The Nerd Squad, Geek Squad, whatever they were called on Chuck.
Oh, okay.
Remember Chuck's two best friends, Morgan and Jeff?
I still haven't
You've never seen Chuck?
Chuck, no.
Oh, Chuck is good.
I've heard Chuck is very good.
So the 10% that I was not engaged is because I was looking people up on IMDb.
Okay, so where was Harry from?
I have no idea. I swear I've seen him in something, but nothing on his filmography looked from... I mean, he was on like one episode of a thing.
He was Dwight's friend. That tried to kill...
Yes. Okay. I was like, there was something that he was on where he was on like a handful of episodes and it was a show I've seen, but I don't remember him from it. But yeah, it was The Office.
He was Dwight's weird friend who... What was that plot where he tried to kill someone?
I don't remember.
He would have tried to kill Jim.
Probably. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Like, I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember the specifics. Someone's yelling at us.
All right. So, Nick Thune was Dave. Meera Rohit Kumbani was Annie, and she has no link to the...
She's been in, like, 18 things, and they seem to all be relatively indie.
Mm. This is where IMDb probably does better than Wikipedia. Yeah. Dang it. Adam Bush was Gordon, and I know him... Oh, he was one of the trio of, basically, on Buffy, there was a trio of basically nerd fanboys that were evil.
Okay.
In one of the most meta nerd situations of all time.
And he was one of them.
That's where I know him from.
Okay.
Ooh, he was way better in this than that. I mean, like, he was great in that, but he was, like, not good.
Right.
He was in Point Pleasant.
I don't know what that is.
Was it something that... I think it's something that Kristen watched. Or I just know the name. And then James Urbaniak was Harry. And I know him from being sort of a big presence on Twitter.
Okay.
Though he doesn't look... His Twitter avatar is a cartoon that he's in from like C-Lab or something. You know, the Venture Brothers is where he was on the Venture Brothers.
Okay.
On Adult Swim.
Okay.
It looks like the guy, Bryn's guy.
Oh, Gregory.
Yeah, bald and like has like a goatee and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we decided he was in the WhatsApp commercials. Do you know... Wait. You know those
commercials? I thought that was from Scream or Not Another Teen Movie or something.
Oh no, that was a reference to the commercials.
Oh.
In the 90s there was a Bud Light commercial and it was these guys that were on the anyways.
Oh.
He was apparently in that, which is
okay.
Or we decided he was on The Office.
Yeah.
He was in a movie called Human Centipede Anonymous.
Oh god.
I have to imagine that's like a Funny or Die thing. Hold on.
That was one thing that Meera Kumbani, was that her last name? I can't remember her last
name.
Yeah,
Kumbani.
She was in some Funny or Die stuff, I think.
I think these are all Funny or Die people. Yeah.
The girl who played Jane had this look about her that was like Natasha Lyonne, but if Natasha Lyonne was not scary and was like really perky.
Yeah, I can see that. People who are Criminal Minds fans will know her as Penelope Garcia because she... is that character on Criminal Minds, Criminal Minds Suspect Behavior, and Criminal Minds Beyond Borders.
Well, okay then.
She was a special guest on that third one. Anyways.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so yeah, I mean, like, it feels like, again, these are all people that are like, hey, this is our summer project, let's do this movie.
So at the beginning, you said that this is like the opposite of Mazes and Monsters.
Yes.
I'm assuming what you mean by that is Mazes and Monsters you think is a fun movie about playing D&D, but it turns out it's a guy with a serious mental illness.
And he thinks that the thing that he has created with his imagination is real.
Right. Whereas this is set up to make you think that it's about a guy who's having some sort of mental breakdown and thinks that the thing he's creating is real. But nope, turns out he's totally sane and the thing that he created with his imagination is super real and killing people.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Like, it sort of defies... It's one of those things that, like, so when I write a blurb for a newsletter called Off Your Radar, and if I really, really like a movie, or if I really, really like an album, it's so hard to write a blurb about it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yeah, this was really great. Everything about it was so good. So anyways, here's Wonderwall.
Yeah.
I think... One of the things that I really liked about it was it, and I think I've already said this, so maybe that I'm reiterating what I'm saying, but I think my conclusion of what I thought of this movie was I really liked how it mixed very, very dry humor with the most slapstick humor.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just sort of took those two decks of cards and just sort of shuffled them up, because it was like, joke about a director. There was one, the Harry was this guy who was making a documentary of this maze situation.
Right.
So he kept giving notes about how to perform and how to say the line. Like, you really make them feel your desperation. Like,
yeah.
And then someone would get impaled on something and silly string and confetti would shoot out of them. Like, It was an amazing melange of all of those of those two sort of very different polar opposites.
And there were a few times when I felt like they were cracking inside jokes. Like the whole thing when Gordon first comes in and they're like, "Where's the beard? On the face." And they just kept doing that. And I'm like, that's got to be an inside joke between either the writer and somebody or the actors. And like, it's got to be an inside joke.
Oh, I mean, I think...
And then later on, they kept doing that, you know, you fucked my wife thing.
No, I think that has to be a... I think that was a pop culture reference.
Oh.
I want to say, given where it... Because it happened for the first time when they all started turning black and white.
Right.
I want to say that that's an Eraserhead reference. And I'm going to look that up real quick.
Okay.
Just because I want to be right about it. And I also don't, again, want to get a bunch of emails that was like, it's Eraserhead.
Okay.
Because Eraserhead was a David Lynch movie that was in black and white.
Okay.
So those two things make me think that maybe that is.
Okay.
And also, I've never seen it, so I don't get the reference.
Right.
No, Raging Bull, which is also in black and white.
Okay. It's,
Raging Bull is a Robert De Niro movie, which is why they were doing a Robert De Niro impression.
Is that what they were doing?
I
don't...
You know how, like, there are celebrities where, like, Christopher Walken or, like, William Shatner, where it's, like, there's what they sound like and then there's what the impression sounds like and
right.
how those two things are often not the same thing.
Right.
I think Robert De Niro is in that list, too.
Okay.
And they were doing sort of, like...
They were doing the impression.
Right.
Not actual De Niro. Okay.
Right. Yeah. So, Raging Bull.
Cool. If I had to say something that I would have done differently or that I expected them to do differently, I really thought that when the maze collapsed at the end that everybody who was dead was going to come out of it.
Right. I thought that.
I thought like that and like I didn't think that there would be any lasting effects of this maze endeavor. But
could you let all the families of the people who died in there? Wait, what?
Like, yeah, I didn't think that there would be any lasting effects, but his hand stayed cardboard, the dead people stayed dead.
Yeah.
The cops were not called. It opens with an interview with Dave.
Right.
That I thought was some kind of, like, police interview or something.
Right.
You realize fairly quickly that it's... from this documentary.
And they come back to that exact interview and it's funny because it starts off with what is clearly the edited, like, documentary edit of it.
Right.
Because then later in the movie, that same interview happens, but
extended
stuff that was clearly cut out in the edit happens.
Yeah.
Like, but it's funny because he's like, don't make me look angry. When he said that at the beginning, I was like, he doesn't seem angry. But when he said that during the actual filming of it, I was like, oh, now I see why.
Yeah.
Because he seemed angry.
Pretty angry.
Yeah.
Because he made this thing that was killing people.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind knowing more about the relationships with basically all of the dead characters.
Uh-huh.
Like, clearly Gregory and Bryn were not, and Jane were like on the fringes of the friend group.
Like in their improv team or
something. Yeah, because they were there.
Yeah.
But no one seemed to care that they were dead.
Yeah.
Or like them that much.
Right.
And then there was Leonard, who was one of, like, the first people, like, one of the only people that Dave was like, yeah, you can call him.
Yeah.
But then also nobody seemed to care. Well, I guess nobody knew he had died.
When he died, question mark?
Yeah.
Because he became a paper bag.
He basically just followed them through without realizing he was following them through.
We thought that he was going to be killed by a giant paper origami bug, but then he became a paper bag.
Yeah.
And then they destroyed the maze and he didn't come out of it. So apparently he died.
Yeah, he like got stuck in the like glowy screen dancing ladies room. He was in there just like watching the silhouettes of the dancers. And then I guess maybe he eventually got out of there because something did. There was like some weapon that killed him. Like super, super. It was like a circular saw
that came at him
and killed him for like 10 minutes.
Oh,
because it kept cutting away to the rest of them destroying the maze and then cut it, and it would be like, you know, this really poignant, like, the maze is crashing down all around them, and then it would just do like a hard cut over to Leonard who's still being eviscerated by this cardboard circular saw.
It's sort of like in the movie Airplane, like there's funny stuff going on and also the plane is actually needing to be landed and there's an actual plane disaster going on.
Right.
It's like that kind of thing, only all of it silly.
Yeah.
It felt, there were also that like dream sequence where they kept changing was that a very was, David Lynchian sort of like.
Yes.
It was charming in a way that I don't generally find David Lynch stuff funny, yeah. By which I mean Mulholland Drive, which is the only David Lynch thing I've seen.
I've seen a few others, and it's, yeah.
It was sort of like, it was like they were filming something in the style of David Lynch, but they kept being like, no, we're just kidding. No, we're not. No, we are just kidding. No, we're not.
Yeah.
Because they kept like having paper costumes on that they kept like taking off and stuff. And they said there was a symmetry to that scene because, like, what it started with him saying, it finished with her saying and vice versa.
Yeah. There were two things that really confused me. That scene.
Yeah.
I don't understand what was happening. I don't understand why that scene was in there. It didn't seem to have anything to do with the rest of the movie. All it really did was sort of establish those two characters' relationship and the fact that they do truly care for one another.
I think that it's like when they were having coffee, there was a tension.
Yeah.
And then by the time they were just staring at the candle, that tension had sort of been removed. And it was when, and they were saying, as we said, like they had swapped lines. I wonder now. This week, I've done a lot of optimistic, this is probably what the creator was thinking.
Yeah, and you have.
Another optimistic James theory is in swapping lines, maybe that was representative of like finding empathy for the other person by saying what they were saying. You got to see that how you took it wasn't how they meant it. Like the.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Like, it was just such an out-of-place scene.
I wonder if when you do that, and they were in the center of the maze, when you do that in other things, it's because the whole movie is symmetrical.
Right.
And cascades out.
Right. They weren't in the center of the maze, though.
Wasn't that the dream sequence?
They were going to the center of the maze, but they hadn't made the chrysalis yet.
Oh, you're right.
Because then they sat in a random room. It may have been that room, and made the chrysalis. And then they were like, okay, let's go to the center.
It was a weird movie.
It was. The other thing I didn't understand is, like, where did he keep getting all that cardboard?
I know.
Like, he went in with a duffel bag, but the duffel bag would not hold that much cardboard.
Right. I thought that
And so many towels.
Well, it was... Was it so many towels, or was it... No, yeah, it had to be. Yeah.
I mean, at one point he dumped out the duffel bag and it had like four towels in it. And we had seen a handful of other towels tacked up. Because when you're in a fort and you don't want somebody to know you're there, you tack up a blanket so they can't see you.
Yeah.
And it makes you invisible.
Yeah. There was something to the maze was growing. So yeah. Like it was adding its own cardboard. But he kept being like, I have this cardboard. That they kept being able to, like, build stuff from and things.
Yeah.
There was an element. Have you seen... Did you see Scott Pilgrim vs. the World?
No.
Okay. That movie... What I'm about to reference is, in that movie, it's basically, like, what if the real world was more reflective of video games? Like, you could get high scores, and when an sure. enemy was defeated, it turned into money and stuff.
Sure. Okay.
They kept having elements that reminded me of Scott Pilgrim. Like when he dumped out the duffel bag and everything was neatly ordered and it made that ba-da-bing
yes.
of like an inventory sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then I know you haven't seen Community.
Correct.
There is an episode of Community. That show was so weird. I think you might really like that show.
I have heard that I need to give that one a shot. This has turned into like the, hey, let's... Like, this movie that Erin really liked was a bunch of references to stuff she hasn't seen.
And
So maybe I should check out all the things this is a reference to.
Maybe. Raging Bull. More David Lynch.
God, no.
No
more David Lynch.
There's an episode. Two episodes? I think maybe just one episode. It's a two-parter. That's what it is.
Okay.
They have an epic pillow fight.
Okay.
It takes place at a community college. They mm-hmm. turn the entire campus into a huge pillow fort.
That sounds amazing.
It is amazing.
I need to watch Community.
And then they structure it like a Ken Burns documentary of the Civil War, only it's about this pillow war.
That's amazing.
It's fantastic.
Where do I watch Community?
I have to imagine Hulu has it.
Okay.
I have to also imagine Netflix has it, too.
Okay. That was one that got, like, weirdly canceled, right? Like, sort of Arrested Development style. Like, it seemed to be really popular, and then it just got canceled, and everybody was really mad.
It was one of those, I think, very much like Arrested Development, where everyone said they loved it, but there were never any ratings for it.
Okay. And then it got canceled and everyone got mad.
And then it got... so.
And they got really happy when it was streaming.
One of the... and I think they streamed... I think there was actually a season that was just on streaming that I never actually ended up watching.
Okay. That sounds right.
That one of the refrains of that show... one of the guys, Abed, is really into this show that is Doctor Who. It's not Doctor Who,
right,
but it's Doctor
but
Who.
But it's Doctor Who.
And... it got canceled, and
Professor
so
Professor Witch.
It may as well be Professor Witch, basically.
Okay.
Which is kind of a better name for Doctor Who, with that like homonym of witch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, and he six seasons in a movie was what he all he wanted from his. I don't remember what it was, but they got. I think they ended up getting six seasons of Community.
Okay.
So people were like, come on, the movie. Or like they got really close.
Okay.
So yeah, but I will vouch for the first two or three seasons. I will vouch hardcore for the first season of Community. It is very, very good. There were excellent episodes in subsequent seasons. It lost a little bit as you do when you get, you know, you either find a more firm stronghold or... I feel like if you have an excellent first season, sometimes your subsequent seasons are rocky.
Yeah.
Because you used up all your good ideas.
That makes sense. It's like a debut. If you have an excellent debut novel, everybody's really expecting good things from the second one. And no matter how good it is, it's really hard to live up to the hype of that first one.
Right. The Fall Out Boy song, Sophomore Slump, or Comeback of the Year.
Yep.
Debut albums are the exact same. Debut novels are the same. You've had all your life to write the first one, and you have 6 months to write the second one.
Yeah. Yeah.
There are two Dungeons & Dragons episodes of Community.
Ooh.
There's an episode called Dungeons & Dragons, and there's an episode called Advanced Dungeons & Dragons.
Nice. I need to watch this show.
They are both possibly the best episodes of the series. There's one episode where it's basically like they play Dungeons & Dragons with this guy so he won't commit suicide.
Okay.
And Chevy Chase is on the show, and he's horrible.
Okay.
And his character is horrible, too. Gotcha, Chevy Chase. Chevy Chase is from all accounts, just a really bad man. Not in like a Bill Cosby sort of way, but in sort of just a jerk way.
Yeah.
As far as
kind of what I've heard.
But he plays just this grumpy, gross dude on the show. And one of the Dungeons and Dragons episodes is like it hinges on him being cool. Just like, be cool. Don't push this guy over the edge. Okay. And like, it's a great episode. You should check it out.
I will.
My prediction is that you aren't going to like the women on it.
That's unfortunate.
Just
based on the fact that apparently I never liked the women. Hey, I liked Annie.
You liked Annie. And you like Amy Santiago.
I do.
Which gives me hope.
And I like Rosa Diaz.
That's true. You might like the women on Community.
Okay. I like Pam.
There's definitely an Amy Santiago.
I actually liked all the women on The Office. Like, Angela was insufferable, but she was great.
Angela is part of my favorite scene of... No, that's not true. One of my favorite scenes on The Office, which is Dwight faking the fire and her throwing her cats up.
Oh, yeah.
Also, everything with Dwight, with Dwangela, was excellently and very subtly done.
Yeah. I imagine Community has a similar vibe to The Office. In my head, it is like The Office meets Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
It has more of a, what if Jake was over it?
Okay. So, Jim.
But what if Jim, and I know there's a thing on there about how Jim and Pam are bad people. Like, there's a thing on the internet about, like, growing up is realizing that Jim and Pam are bad people, whatever. I don't really subscribe to that. But if Jim wasn't sweet.
Okay.
And wasn't Dwight, like Jeff is sort of, he's a lawyer who doesn't have the premise of the pilot is he's a lawyer who never actually got his law degree.
Oh.
So he has to...
Was he like short a couple credits or something?
Something like that. Okay. Or it turned out that the school that he got it from was fake, or he faked it or something.
Okay.
And so he has to go to community college to graduate from... Or he didn't graduate from college, so his law degree doesn't... Something.
Okay.
Plot, plot, plot. He doesn't want to be there, and he joins this study group to try and basically crib answers from people.
Right.
And then they gradually wear him down into liking people.
Oh, okay.
Or tolerating people.
Okay.
But Annie on that is very Amy Santiago-y in my mind.
Okay. I'll watch it this summer.
Do it.
All my free time.
Well, look forward to the Community episode.
Probably.
Yeah. There's some great... Troy and Abed are among the greatest TV duos of all time. That's with a bullet.
I'm excited.
Yeah, you should be. Anyways, Dave like made a maze.
Yeah. I feel like we've said all that we really need to say.
See this movie.
Yeah, it was really good. Like, I feel kind of bad that we spoiled some stuff, but at the same time, like, there were so many goofs that were
follow me.
That were like visual things. Yeah. Yes, like there were visual, like, it, even if you know exactly what the outcome is, it is still worth watching because there were so many just funny things that you have to have actually seen the movie to really appreciate
it. Yeah, there, I mean, like, it's one that we can't, that I don't think we could spoil. Like, we, I mean, like, plot we can, but, like, the enjoyable parts of this are in how they did it.
Yeah.
And also, I really liked the chemistry of the people, like, between the people.
Yeah, they, it felt like they were friends.
The, when Gordon and Annie were, like, in the doorframe at the beginning, and they were sort of, like, just, like, what is happening? I was, like, I really get a sense that these people are friends with this guy.
Yeah.
It actually, I got a real New Girl Gang vibe from it. They're, they have, and like there was a very like, oh my God, what is this craziness that's happening? I don't know. I'm stumbling for words because it was such a great movie that sort of is defying me grappling with it. I can't even like.
I'm kind of surprised that we didn't. I saw a trailer for it, I think in, I can't imagine I saw a trailer for it in the theater. I think I probably saw a trailer for it in like the previews on another movie I watched.
We watched a preview together on Detention? Was there a preview on Detention for Dave Made a Maze?
No, because didn't Detention come out like years ago?
What was a recent Detention-ish movie that we watched?
I feel like I saw the preview for this with Kevin because I told, because when Christina said that this, you know, I just saw this movie and it feels like it would be right up y'all's alley. I thought, I seem to recall thinking, that's right. I remember seeing the trailer for this and thinking James and I should watch that for the show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like I was probably with Kevin when I saw it, but I don't know. Like, it could be the kind of thing where he was, like, flipping around on Prime and it was, like, one of the trailers.
Right.
Because he likes to do that. Sometimes he'll sit down, like, to watch a movie and he'll just watch 2 hours worth of trailers.
I've done that.
Yeah.
Like, I get
lost
in.
You just don't find one that really speaks to you, but you just keep looking. I guess.
There's a, you ever watch a movie, a video on Facebook that someone has posted and it takes you into that alternate region where it's just videos that just scroll up and up.
Yes.
And then it's 3 hours later and you're like, oh my God, I was supposed to do anything tonight.
Yep.
Instead, I watched James Corden and that British talk show.
Graham Norton?
Yeah. Lots of Graham Norton. Feels like a show I would love. If I was British, I feel like I would be a big Graham Norton fan.
Yeah. I don't think you have to be British to be a Graham Norton fan. I just think it's harder to get his show over here.
Yeah.
It's on BBC.
Yeah.
Like, it was always one of the commercials during Orphan Black and Doctor Who.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
But, yeah. So, Dave Made a Maze, very good. You should go watch it. It's on Hulu right now.
I want to say that if we ever got to make a movie, and I know I made this point similarly from the other side earlier, this feels like a very UFO movie.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is what we would call our movie, a very UFO movie.
Yeah.
This feels like, you know, sitting down brainstorming, what are the funniest things that could happen, and then doing them, and being like, you know, we can make the crazy stuff in your head happen. What is the crazy stuff in your head?
Right.
Yeah. Really good. So, yeah. Shall we do...
Yeah, let's social media and wrap it up.
All right. We have a Facebook group. It is called Unabashedly Obsessed with Unabashedly Obsessed, and it is a lovely place to go.
Yes, it is. You should join. We'll let you in.
We will. Unless you are clearly a robot.
You know what's funny about our... I mean, there are a lot of funny things about our Facebook group, but... randomly people will post or comment on stuff and I'm like, when did you join this group? And it's because you let them in.
Yeah
We're like, just, it's somebody that you've let in, and so all of a sudden there's this new person in the group and they're engaging and I love it, but I'm like, I don't like, hi new person.
Right.
Yeah. So James is probably going to be the one to let you in.
Yeah.
because James seems to just always get to the join requests before I do. I think I've let maybe three people in, and not including the handful of people that I've added myself.
Right. Yeah. I do keep a lot of tabs open.
You do.
We have a Twitter.
We do. It is at UFO Podcast. You can decide what the F stands for. Today, the F stands for fake cardboard vagina.
Okay. That sounds good.
Does it?
Good old FCV, yeah.
It doesn't sound good to me. It sounds really uncomfortable. Well, like, no matter who you are, it sounds really uncomfortable. But...
So we are also individually on Twitter at Unabashed James.
And at Unabashedly Aaron.
We have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/unabashedlyobsessed. We have a Cafe Press store where you could buy merch if you wanted.
Yeah.
Cafepress.com/unabashedlyobsessed.
I highly recommend the stainless steel travel mug. I'm really picky about travel mugs. I want them to close properly so that, like, if it's closed and it tips over, it doesn't just immediately spill everywhere.
Great, great. And great requirement.
This one stays closed.
Right on.
And it has, like, a little thing that pops up so you can, like, it's got, like, a little carry handle that, like, pops up or snaps down. So if I'm running out the door, I can, like, loop a pinky through this handle and carry my coffee mug out.
Right on. Cool. And
huge.
If you were on some sort of arduous bike trip, mm-hmm. you could keychain it to...
anything, really.
A backpack.
Uh-huh.
A prosthetic ring that you have put into your skin for holding things that have keychains.
A prosthetic ring?
Yeah. Like, it would be in your skin.
Yeah. I think like an arm piercing.
That counts as a prosthetic.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know. I assumed a prosthetic was like a replacement for something that I guess prosthetic no means,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, all right.
So, but you're right. I could keychain it to my arm piercing.
Right, yeah.
If I had an arm piercing.
Exactly. Hey, man, nice arm piercing. Thanks. Ring-a-ding. Yeah, ring-a-ding, man. Clink. We also have a...
What just happened?
We also have an email, unabashedlyobsessed@gmail.com. You can email us. We'll rope you into a conversation.
Yeah, we will.
New Matt knows what we're talking about. Hi, New Matt. Matt.
I think that's
pretty it for social much media. It. Yep. We have an Instagram that occasionally gets updated. Hey, Aaron.
No, it doesn't.
Hey, Aaron.
Yeah.
We have an Instagram.
Do we?
I guess.
Cool. I'll have to check that out sometime. Remember when I said that I was going to at least use it to post all of our episodes?
I do.
There's a lot of extra steps. I have to go find the link to the episode, and then I have to find a picture to post, and then I have to join the two together.
Uh-huh.
But first, I have to remember that we have an Instagram, and that I'm supposed to be posting to it.
All of my Facebook posts will now include the line, Aaron, we have an Instagram.
I mean, they probably should.
Thank you so much to Jamie Shaheen, who wrote our theme song, Did You Guys Know There's a Ladder Down Here? You can find him and his band on YouTube. They are called A Silent Few.
And thank you also to Emily Cardamus, who did our logo art. You can find her on Twitter at Corrupted Gem. You can find her on Tumblr at artfulhypothesis.tumblr.com. And you can find her, I believe it's weekly or maybe bi-weekly webcomic.
I think it's weekly.
I think it's weekly.
When, weekly unless life happens, which is...
It's called Steamed Veggies. It's steamedveggies.tumblr.com. I had a bit of writer's block the other night and spent that entire time scrolling through her entire back catalog. It's delightful.
It is delightful.
I do that once in a while. A couple times a year.
Yeah.
I will go scroll all the way through all of the comics.
She listens to podcasts that I don't listen to. And it really makes me feel like, it really makes me, puts it in perspective that there are a lot of podcasts out there.
Yeah.
She also restructured her commissions situation recently.
Oh, she did?
She has three different commissions packages that are different styles of drawing.
Oh, okay.
That you can take advantage of. You should. I mean, we did for our logo art, and I remain a year later.
Over a year, yeah.
Over a year later, very, very pleased with our logo.
Yep. I'm happy every time I look at our logo.
Yep. So
every time I walk past my car and I see our little logo on my little magnet.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes me real happy.
Yep. You should get a commission from her. She can draw you or your D&D character.
That's true.
I think that's it though.
I just want to touch on something that I just remembered I Googled.
Okay.
The difference between maze and labyrinth.
Yeah.
Was brought up in the movie. A maze is a complex branching puzzle that includes choices of path and direction, may have multiple entrances and exits, and dead ends. A labyrinth has only a single non-branching path,
right,
which leads to the center, then back out the same way with only one entry slash exit point, which means that the point Gordon made at the end that it was a labyrinth, not a maze,
was wrong.
Was wrong.
Yeah. Now, I think, so
there also was also means that the movie Labyrinth was wrong.
Well, okay. So there was a class, I think at JMU, possibly at UVA. Someone I knew took a class that was basically like labyrinths.
And that there was like a cool class.
There was a labyrinth at one of the campuses that was basically like just a spiral. A labyrinth is basically just a path you follow, I think, for like meditative purposes.
Right, sure.
Also, I think the Yellow Brick Road, for at least a little bit, was a very labyrinth sort of situation.
Sure.
There are parts in that movie where it splits off and whatever, so it loses that quality.
Right.
But I think the confusion is that Theseus built a maze that he called the Labyrinth.
Oh, okay.
I know Theseus built the maze that we know as the Labyrinth with the Minotaur in it and stuff, sure, like that on Crete. And I think that's the confusion, is that now it's sort of like if Kleenex was also something that you called something that wasn't facial tissue.
Right.
But then someone made facial tissue and called it Kleenex because they're a jerk.
Right.
I'm fairly certain about that.
Okay.
That it was the Labyrinth. That maze that Theseus made, he called the Labyrinth.
Okay.
And so people have been calling mazes labyrinths
ever since.
At least that's my, that's what I would put on a test where we learned it in school and then I forgot it and I was piecing the facts together from other parts of the test.
Right.
Like, I call that my Miss Die strategy. I literally, like, most of my AP US history answers were culled from, okay, well, this question asked about this, which probably means that this is not an option, was like a large part of my my test-taking strategy.
Makes sense. It's a good strategy.
It seemed to work out.
It's at least not a bad strategy.
That strategy either gets you generally good grades or you make a huge logic miscalculation and all of your assumptions are wrong.
True.
So
true.
Go big or go home.
Yep.
Because you failed out of school.
Yep. All right.
This has been, to be fair, kind of a papery, cardboardy kind of episode of Unabashedly Obsessed, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Like when he was like, I think it's fueled by my imagination. She's like, oh boy. That was good.
Yeah.
I'm James.
I'm Erin.
Smoking kills.
And so do pennies. Thank you.